Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. We also need to understand that we are scripturalists, which means this: we do believe the Bible, all of it, and we put it together the way that God says to do it. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, and according to the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy, rightly divide the word of truth. Because you see, if people do not rightly divide the word of the truth, then they will come to a wrong conclusion, a misinterpretation, or they will come to reject it altogether, just depending on the situation. Now, this is how we're going to do it, with answering the question, how old is the earth? Now, no place does the Bible tell us how old it really is. But what can we come to conclude from the Word of God? Now, there are some people who say, well, Genesis 1 says everything was created in 7 days. Is that true? Let me ask you another question. Is God eternal? Yes, He is. Is God creator? Yes, He is. If everything came into existence 6,000 years ago, what was God doing for all eternity? Let's ask another question. If it is true that everything was created only 6,000 years ago, and we know what the speed of light is, and we can measure where the North Star is, and we know how many light years that is away from the Earth, it is far more than 6,000 years, isn't it? Yes, indeed. As astronomers look out into the vastness of the universe and all the magnificent things that God has created, if they were created only 6,000 years ago, how is it that we get the light to the Earth today after only 6,000 years when they can measure and pretty well calculate that it's out there billions of years ago? So this tells us that God existed billions of years ago, and He was creating so that now we on the earth can look out and see what God has done in eternity past. All right? Can we come close to proving any of this from the scriptures? Let's see what the scriptures tell us. Let's understand what God has said concerning His creativity and how He has done it. Now, first of all, before we come to Genesis, the first chapter, let's come to Psalm 148, because this tells us an awful lot about what God did, and we will notice the order of things as they are listed here. Verse 1, oh, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights. Now, we will see this is the order of how God created things, how God created the universe. Verse 2, praise Him, all His angels, praise Him, all His hosts. Now, God created the angels, as we will see, before He created the earth. So we have the heavens, we have the angels. Now, let's continue on. Verse 3, praise Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all you stars of light. Now, we have the creation of the sun and the moon, which means the earth as well. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. So everything that is out there that is created, and when they measure billions of years out into outer space, that is undoubtedly quite correct, because God did not create the earth until later, as we will see from the scriptures. Now, it doesn't tell us directly, but it gives the order of creation. And we will see that Genesis 1 tells us far more when we bring in other scriptures than what it tells us by just reading it. So again, let's go on. Verse 6, He has also established them forever, and He made a decree which shall not be passed. Then it talks about creating everything on the earth. Now let's come back here to Genesis, the first chapter, and let's see what it tells us directly from the Word of God. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly when God began. It doesn't tell us how far in the number of years. Now, we can come to a certain understanding concerning light years, but this does not tell us how old the earth actually is. And how can you reconcile an older earth with a 6,000-year creation? It can't be done. So let's come back here to Genesis, the first chapter. And let's first of all read it the way it was meant to be written and to be read. Verse 1, In the beginning, God created the heavens. Pause. And the earth. Isn't that something? When did God create the earth? Was it before Genesis 1-2? Or was it at Genesis 1-2? Now let's answer the question here the best we can. Let's look at some other scriptures, and we'll follow what we read in Psalm 148. He created the heavens and then the angels. And we will see from Scripture that Lucifer and one-third of the angels rebelled. And we will see what that happened. But we know this. When we come to Genesis, the third chapter, the serpent who is Satan, the devil, is already evil. So what happened? Let's see this, that the evidence in the Bible follows the same way as Psalm 148. God created the heavens, then He created the angels, then He created the earth. Now let's come to the book of Job. And by the way, the book of Job has really quite a lot of scientific information in it. Job says that God hung the earth on nothing. So they knew that it was an orb out in space. There are many other scientific things you can find in the book of Job. But let's come to the book of Job, chapter 38, and let's see what is recorded here. Let's see the knowledge and information and understanding that they already had during Job's day. Job was so lifted up in vanity that he thought, my righteousness is greater than God's. And he even demanded, he said, oh, I wish there were an umpire between me and God to lay his hand on God's shoulder and his hand on my shoulder and settle the issue that I am righteous. And Job forgot that any righteousness he could do was merely following the righteousness that God commanded. So it was really no credit to him. Now, I know there are people, when they read the book of Job the first time, they say, oh, I think God was wrong in dealing with Job the way that he did. He was really righteous. Well, remember this. Any righteousness that he had came from keeping the laws and commandments of God, not inherently from within himself. So he demanded, I want God to speak to me. Well, God obliged. Notice what happened. Job 38 and verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now here's a real confrontation, right? Job learned a lot, didn't he? Yes, and we find that at the end of the book of Job, he repented. And he understood how sinful he was, and he understood how wrong he was, and he understood all the righteousness that he did really came from God and not himself. So God says concerning Job, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Job, you don't understand. So he says to Job, verse 3, now gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. So here's how God begins. Here's how God confronts Job. And it helps us answer the question, when did God create the earth? And we will see he did so after he created the angels. Now let's read it, beginning in verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. Tell me, Job, if you're so great, tell me, were you there when I created the earth? Well, of course not. And it gets back to what God has said. Shall the created say to the creator, what have you made? Let's continue on. Verse 5. Who has determined its measurements, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it, if you know? Amazing, isn't it, huh? On what are the foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? How did God make it? You know, even today, they now have instruments that can go down 4 and 5 miles down deep into the ocean. And guess what they find? Life. They don't even understand how it got there. You need to understand this. There is no such thing as evolution. Never occurred, cannot happen, because everything cannot come from nothing. God created it. Now let's go on. Notice this, verse 6 again. On what are the foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars, those are angels, sang together, and all the sons of God, that's another group of angels, shouted for joy. Now notice, this tells us, when God laid the foundation of the earth, the angels were witnessing it. They were shouting for joy. They were happy. Why? Because God gave them the earth to live on to help prepare it for human beings. That's why. But there was a rebellion. Let's see how that rebellion took place. Because this occurred after the earth was created and before man was created. So we need to keep that in mind. So let's see what happened. How did the angels rebel? Well, in Revelation 12, it tells us that that great serpent, Satan the devil, made war against God and drew a third part of the stars of heaven, or that is the angels of heaven, with him in this rebellion. Let's see how that got started. Let's come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. And here we find some very interesting clues. See, this is why we are to study the Bible. This is why we are to put it together, line upon line, precept upon precept, or build the verses and find out exactly what the Word of God has to tell us. Now, there are going to be times when we come across things that we don't understand. So what are we to do with that? Just put a question mark alongside it and come back at a later date when you understand more about the Bible. This is why we have the downloadable article, The 14 Rules to Bible Study. God wants you to understand it, but there are rules that we find in the Bible on how to understand. So what we are going to do in this segment and probably the next one is, when was the earth created? And what happened after it was created? Because, see, when God created it, all the sons of God, the morning stars, those are descriptions of the angels, they shouted for joy. But what happened? How did they become Satan and the demons. They rebelled. There was war in heaven. And let's pick it up here in Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, lift up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you seal up the measure of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, this is not talking about a man, but this is talking about the power behind the king, Satan the devil. See, because when you read the book of Daniel, you find in Daniel the fourth chapter that God has his angels watching over the kingdoms of the earth, and there are the holy ones with decrees, and God sets up over the nations the basest of men. Now notice verse 13, because this tells us something very important. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Whoa! Think on that for a minute. Now let's analyze something very carefully. When you come to Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, you find that God created the Garden of Eden. That's also where God lived with Adam and Eve. And you also find the serpent came in later. So how many people were in the Garden of Eden, or how many beings, let's put it that way? One, God. Two and three, Adam and Eve. Four, Satan the devil in the form of a serpent, right? So this is talking about the one who became the serpent. You have been in the Garden of Eden. Could not be during the times of Ezekiel, because the Garden of Eden was destroyed in the flood. So it couldn't be talking about the king of Tyre as the physical human being, but it's talking about the spiritual power behind the king of Tyre. Now let's read verse 14. You were the anointed cherub that covers. I have set you so. Now, what do we find about cherub? Well, we find that in the instructions that God gave in the book of Exodus concerning building the Ark of the Covenant, and also to Solomon in building the temple. And over the Ark of the Covenant, there were two angels called cherubim. So here's the third one. When we come to the Ark of the Covenant, the third angel is already gone, right? Removed, yes. How was he removed? Well, we'll see, because of the rebellion and war against God. Let's continue. You were the anointed cherub that covers. I set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. That's where God's throne is. It was right there with God's throne. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. In other words, just like, you know, the glorious sea of glass that God has that his throne is on, and it's like fire. So that's where he was. Now notice verse 15. God did not create him sinful. A lot of people say, well, God created Lucifer or Satan to be sinful. No. He did not. Verse 15 tells us this. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created. Now, can that be said of any man? No. See, the cherub and the angels were created by God. So here's what we've understood so far. God created the heavens. Then he created the angels, including the one who became Satan the devil, who was the morning star, as we'll see, and he gave them the earth with access to God in heaven above to his throne. Wonderful setup. But notice what happened. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled your midst with violence, and you have sinned. Sinned against God. We will see what that sin really was in just a minute. And also why then he is called in the New Testament, the God of this world or this age. Now notice what happened. Therefore, I will cast you as profane from the mountain of God. And then he says, I will destroy you, which means to expel you, O covering cherub, from among the stones of fire. So Satan was expelled. He was cast down. He and a third of the angels because of this rebellion. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, vanity, jealousy, lust, and greed by choice. Let's understand that. By choice. Because he was perfect. God gives choice even to the angels. They're not robots and automatons, just crank them up and, yes, sir, I'm here and I'm perfect, you know, like a droid or something like that. They are thinking living beings, and God gives them choice, just like he's given to all human beings. We have choice to choose what is right or what is wrong, to do good or to do evil. And even if we're not converted, we know right and wrong and good and evil if we're instructed in it, do we not? Yes, indeed. Those who choose to sin, choose to sin. Same way with the one who became Satan, the devil, the covering cherub. He became corrupted because of the reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. And so that's exactly the fate that's going to happen. Satan is going to be cast before kings. He's going to be cast into a prison, Revelation 20, and everyone's going to see him and say, is this the one that caused so much destruction and havoc on the earth? Yes, indeed. Notice what happened. Verse 18, by the multitude of your iniquities. What were those iniquities? Well, a lot of them are the very same thing that we see going on today among men. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. By the unrighteousness of your trade, you have profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I brought forth a fire from your midst, and it shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth. Doesn't say he's going to be burned up. Just bring him down in the ashes before the eyes of all who see you. So this is how Satan and a third of the angels rebelled. God made the earth for them. God gave it to them so that they would be able to help God with his creation with mankind. Now, very probably, when they found out that men, through the process of conversion and resurrection, being changed and made after the likeness of God, would be greater than them, that's when they rebelled. Now, we'll continue this in the next segment of How Old is the Earth, Part 2. But this shows us that from the Bible, we can get some understanding of the sequence of events. We can't get all the timing, we can't get the number of the years, but we can understand this in an outline form. And then we can look at the evidence of how old the earth is and really understand that it's more than 6,000 years old. So thank you for inviting me into your home. Remember to go to our website, cbcg.org, and download any of the sermons that you would like there. Also, on Church at Home, we have many articles that you can download. And especially remember the one, the 14 Rules of Bible Study. And if you take that, and if you follow that, and if you go through your Bible and study according to those things, you will be amazed how much you will learn. So the Word of God tells us the truth. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.